Armstrong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello everyone and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for August 6th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and we're here early in the morning. And I'm here with Mary. How you doing, Mary?
Great. I am repping the footy pajamas in celebration of having to get up earlier than I normally would to do this.
Yes. Very excited to be here with you guys. Mary's back for the Mondays.
I know. I'm back from Yadis and I am ready to go.
And she's
sorry
got,
that you had to.
Yeah,
everyone else.
She's got a cow in the background. She's got pandas on her pajamas. It's fantastic.
Yep, just really making it a nice, bright, and cheery morning.
Yes. So we are here to tell you everything that happened on the Big Brother 20 live feeds yesterday. And it's a build up day. We're just building up to the big blindside that's going to happen today during the veto ceremony. It's going to be fantastic. Make sure you're here for the fallout. It should be a lot of fun. But let's talk about yesterday. We start off, as you know, from yesterday. Bailey, Haley, and Rockstar pushed really hard for a female alliance with Angela, trying to get her to put Scotty up on the block. And Angela is going to start the day by telling all of that to Scotty and Tyler. So Angela, Scotty, Tyler, and Casey are going to have this conversation. Angela's going to be like, hey, Scotty, Tyler, guess what happened last night? Haley, Bailey, and Rockstar came up to me and they were like, hey, so about that Women's Alliance thing. And they were telling me to put Scotty up on the block. Haley was saying I'd be a legend if I put Scotty up next to Tyler. Pretty crazy, right, guys?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what the legendary part of this was. I guess the fact that she... or that someone would have taken Scotty down and then he would have gone right back up. That would have been pretty cool. But there is a lot of hyperbole about it's the biggest move ever. It's the biggest move in 22 seasons. No one will believe it.
Yeah, it feels like they watched an episode of like Dan Gheesling or something when he's like talking to Ian. And he's like, you're going to be a renegade. You're going to be a legend. Or maybe it was Helen. Maybe they watched Helen on Big Brother 15 as if they would ever give them Big Brother 15 to watch and sequester. And they're
no
like,
chance.
You're like Janelle, you're going to be a legend. And they're just like, this is just a good move. This is how you play big. They haven't been able to like manipulate anybody yet. So this is their first really like hardcore push. And so they think this is how you manipulate somebody. You tell them they're going to be a legend. It totally works. And they do think it's working. So it's working on themselves. That's something.
Yeah, there is a lot of back and forth of Fessy and Haley going, I think we've got him. I think we've roped him in. I think this is what they're going to do. And then just everyone else laughing about it. So
yes.
Not going to happen.
Yes. So Scotty fully flipped over at this point, especially when he's hearing that they're trying to pitch to get him up on the block. So Scotty tells them about the Hive and look to anyone who is like, you guys call them the Hive, not Faute. This is why you don't do it. The Hive is already dead. It's not the Hive anymore. It's been outed. The Hive is done. That's why we call them Faute. So Scotty lets them know all about the Hive and everything going on there. He says that Bailey was telling him last week that he needed to go after Angela and Casey. He is definitely fudging some details. you know, Bailey was the one telling me that that I needed to go after you guys. But he's doing his part here. He's outing the hive, and this is just all, it's all coming out.
Yeah, and it's really fun to watch Scotty all day tell slightly different versions of things to different people based on what he thinks they already know. Because one of the crazy thing about today is that there's a lot of Scotty talking with Angela, Casey, and Tyler together as a group, and then Scotty separately talking to Brett. And, you know, Level 6 has done a really good job of not making it seem like Brett is a part of this. And so Scotty sort of feels like he's going back and forth between Brett and this other group and sharing information, and Brett's doing a great job acting like he doesn't know what the plan is. So they're really making Scotty feel comfortable. And I think in Scotty's mind, he probably thinks that he's, you know, making some good moves for the rest of his game. And I do think that that's probably, out of everyone on the Falte side, Scotty has the biggest chance of bouncing back from the downfall of Falte.
Yeah. And, you know, this whole Brett thing really did work out. Not, I think, in the way that Brett anticipated, but because Brett now seems like a separate entity from the rest of Level 6 to Scotty, Scotty feels like he just jumped into a potential alliance with himself, Tyler, and Angela, with kind of Casey attached as well. And he doesn't know that Brett is already in there. He thinks that they, you know, he doesn't realize that they've been working with JC for a long time. He is just as confused about Sam as most people. So he doesn't realize how solid a number she is for them. He thinks that he has a good relationship with her. Scotty thinks that he's jumping in with Tyler, like that him and Tyler are a pair going in with Angela and Casey, like, oh, we're kind of forming a new kind of thing. He does. And so when you're right, when he does have a conversation with Brett later in the night, it is very much just like them talking around. I wonder what Angela is going to do. And then both pretending that they don't know. and it's a very long conversation. They're both like, they both want to be allies with each other. But they also have to pretend that there's a lot of things that they don't know, because they have to keep things secret. Cause Tyler told Scotty that, you know, him and Scotty are the only people that know about the Bailey blindside. So Scotty can't tell Brett, and Brett can't tell Scotty, but they're also trying to form the bond and talk about how they're all good with each other in the game. And they're even like, you know, if somebody did go up on the block, you know, that after Tyler went off, I would probably vote that person out. Right. I mean, that's probably what we do. So it's a funny dynamic.
And I also think, you know, I'm sure that it's, some people are thinking, well, you know, Scotty is a floater going back and forth between the bottom of two alliances. But I think if we're if nothing crazy happens next week with the hacker twist, if it either isn't going to matter based on there not being the numbers for Falte to do anything, or someone from Level 6 is going to get it anyway, I think after that week, you know, you've mentioned that things are probably going to get more mixed up then. And I think that's where Scotty has the ability to jump to the top of one, or, you know, in a better position in one of these new factions that's probably going to form.
Yeah. Especially,
or he's just going to be an easy boot. One of the two.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Scotty does have still a difficult road ahead of him. He's jumping ship from Falte at just the right moment, in regards to the fact that I think it's about to die. And so I do think he will be okay for a couple more weeks. The problem is that once Falte seems mostly dead and you've just got like Rockstar left, or maybe Rockstar and Haley or Rockstar and Fessy, then people will start to look at like, okay, Scotty's kind of a threat. We need to make sure that Scotty's not gonna, you know, do anything against us. And that's when he needs to make sure he has the right allies and he's on the right side of the Level 6 civil war. He wants to make sure that there is a Level 6 civil war before they decide to pick him off. But that's all future stuff. In the meantime, Haley is going to talk to Bailey. They are very proud of themselves because they have figured out that Scotty is not with them. Oh, Scotty's not with us. Oh, yeah, yeah. We know. We know. He's never been with us. We've always known he's never been with us. He's been faking it the whole time. Yeah, congrats. That's why he's not with you anymore, because you never believed that he was, despite him being on your side for like 5 weeks.
Yeah, and, you know, this is obviously the reason that the people from the Valtae side or Hive side are having so much trouble, is because for some reason their first instinct is to always doubt each other as opposed to the people who are not in most of their group meetings for whatever reason. And yeah, so I mean, Scotty has been voting with them besides the Swaggy C vote. So it's a shame that they alienated him enough to where it kind of came true. Because I think he would have stayed loyal to them had they not been constantly trying to make him a scapegoat for everything.
Yes. Scotty, I think, was like, here's the most ridiculous thing about Valtae is that Scotty and Rockstar were the two most loyal by far to the Alliance. And they were the ones that were consistently scapegoated and ridiculed and all of this. Like, Haley at one point was considering jumping ship. Bailey was jumping ship at one point. Fessy only ever cared about Haley, and, you know, absolutely has other connections and other, you know, motivations. But Scotty was super loyal to them, and Rockstar has never ever had any other options. It's crazy. Well,
and especially because the entire point of the first vote was that side going, we need to keep Steve so we can get Scotty, and then they just never treated him well once they got him. Once that fell through and Steve left, they're like, well, guess we don't really need to keep Scotty that close anymore.
Yeah, and you know, it's been discussed a lot, like, how ridiculous these Valtae people are. They can't figure anything out. But I think it's worth noting that they, you know, when they talk about, like, we've voted wrong four times, like, that has a huge factor. You know, people talk about, like, the intentional Matt Singh on Survivor is when you intentionally make sure you go to tribal council, because often when you are a tribe on Survivor and you win all the immunity challenges and you never go to tribal council, you never get to solidify, like, here are my people. Like, this is what they've been telling me. And now it's coming in. The votes are being read. We like, it's solidified. Everything makes sense. Everybody that I thought was going to vote this way voted this way, or they didn't vote this way. And now the lines are drawn. Now I know. Valtae has never had a single vote where just everything made sense, where there wasn't at least one person who voted, you know, a different way and denied it. And so they have never had the safe knowledge of, okay, here's our alliance, here are the votes, they're coming in here. Okay, all right, we have an alliance of six. We just got six votes. Perfect. They've never had that comfort, and so they've never been able to sit down and just feel like, okay, we've got this. I think that is a huge part of why they're so inept at like just staying together in any way.
And it surprises me, especially with Tyler admitting to have voted Rachel out this past vote. It really surprises me that it didn't click in any of their minds, like, oh, maybe he's the one who's been voting every single time not with us. You know, I think especially you see in the first week of Big Brother a lot when someone is HOH and there are two sides, both sides think they have the HOH. That would be the first person I would go to and think, maybe we didn't have the HOH the first week because probably both sides were going to them and maybe we just lost that. That would be the first person I would think of. Unfortunately, by the second week, they had lost Caitlin as well, so got more complicated.
Yes. And another problem, again, is Rockstar, where it's like Haley and Bailey are both talking in this conversation about how, like, Rockstar is so annoying. She can dish it, but she can't take it. Like, Rockstar, for Bailey in particular, is just like Bailey's punching bag. Like, Bailey after, I mean, the problem with Bailey has so much, she had potential to be a good player, but she just lost her mind when she was HOH. She lost her mind with power. She just has this like huge superiority complex where she just like needs to be bossing people around. And we saw that when she was HOH, she bossed everybody around. She had Scotty swear allegiance to her on a Bible. She was telling people all sorts of stuff. And now that she's not HOH, she has no more power over anybody. And so she's taking everything out on Rockstar, and it's making me feel bad for Rockstar. Like, Rockstar, who is just this person who, like, wants to feel cool by hanging out with these younger cool kids, especially like Bailey. You know, she's like everything that Rockstar is about, and Bailey is just like treating her so poorly, and I almost don't feel bad for Rockstar, because Rockstar has spent the entire first month of the game like, oh, those other people on the other side, they're so mean to me, they bully me by not talking to me. Well, there's a person in your alliance that you love that continually bullies you nonstop, like just constantly beating up on Rockstar for no good reason. Rockstar has done nothing. She's just like, she follows us around. She can't take it when, like, she's just constantly berating her. I'm telling you, it happens all the time, and it's so ridiculous. But Rockstar is just like this little puppy dog that just like keeps coming back. It's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, Rockstar burned too many bridges in the fact that, you know, by the, you know, fifth week of the show, she's still talking about how she, oh, me and Angela never talk, me and Brett never talk, me and Rachel never talk. And so by doing that, she has to stick with the only people she's communicated with. And I will say, the one thing I can give to Bailey, although it's terrible gameplay, the part that I can understand why she's acting like this is, like, I find myself occasionally talking to, like, my younger brother in the same way she talks to Rockstar occasionally, when, like, he's done something, he's just messed up so many times that you're just taking out all your frustration. I'm like, can't you get it together? Can't you do this? She's stuck with these people who can't get it together, and she's not handling it well. But, you know, I can see where she's angry with the situation. And that's the thing, when you know that you're not the one who's flipped a vote, you feel like you're like, oh my gosh, I'm doing everything right. I just need to blame someone. I need to figure out who it is. But yeah, it was pretty clear in the episode last night with how she was talking to Rockstar that she's not winning any favors in that way.
And just to be clear, it like what you saw in the episode, that was obviously an extreme example, but that was to do with the vote. I'm talking just like in general, like just with anything. Like she'll complain about anything that Rockstar. Why are you apologizing? Like, Rockstar after the hacker comp was like, I'm sorry, Bailey, I wish I could have won that for us. And Rockstar, why are you apologizing? Shut up. Like, just stop. Rockstar, why are you always doing this? Just stop apologizing. Like, whoa, wow, sorry. But you're right. It's like she acts like Rockstar is like a little sister or a little brother or something. But like, Rockstar is like 10 years older than her and a mother. And it's just like, it's weird that she's treating her like that.
It was kind of, in a way, it was like how Paul was talking to some of the people last season. You think, I mean, mm-hmm. probably because he's a vet, you think that he's so much more mature and older, and you look it up and he was what, like 24? Like, he's exactly. way younger than most of them. But so in your opinion, do you think that Rockstar is the most likely person from that side to probably make it the farthest in the game? Because I think she's the one who's probably going to stick around for the longest at this point.
Pencil Rockstar in for like final six, I think.
Definitely.
I think she's good for a while, because even Fessy, you know, is he's at least good at competitions, which makes him a bit more of a threat. Haley is starting to out herself as a bit more of a threat this week. She's going to be a target very soon, and obviously Sam doesn't like her, which doesn't help her chances. I think Rockstar's in it for a while. So then we had Fessy and Angela. Fessy is going to, this is another reason why Fessy might be a target. He's going to pitch the exact same thing that Haley pitched to Angela. You'll be a legend. You'll go down in Big Brother history. I've only seen like half of a season, but I know you're going to go down in Big Brother history as a legend. Angela's like, okay, that's exactly what Haley told me. Great job, guys. You're really, really killing it.
The hyperbole is so real with all of these people who have not watched many seasons. And you know, when Scotty says something about comparing, you know, them with other seasons or how big a move is, you give him a little bit more credit, although I think he's really off with the whole Brett Mist thing. But you give him a little more credit because he's actually watched some seasons. But with the legendary stuff and Rockstar mentioned a couple things about like, oh, our cast is the best, blah, 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 blah. At least compared to last year. I'm like, well, she's got that. It is at least a little more exciting than last year.
Yes. Bailey is going to talk to JC. And JC is going to spend a lot of the day kind of like doing what JC does, which is misleading. And he even says this to Angela later. Like, he's like, I'm giving them so much information, but it's all bad information. It's JC is such an integral part of keeping Faute just completely lost, because he's just like, I think I'm worried if that Fessy might go up on the block, what might happen there. Something else. I wasn't sure how relevant it would be, even though it was a funny moment, because it doesn't really translate to an update, but you should go back and watch the chip gate. JC wanted some chips and Bailey just like snatched them out from him, and they had like a little bit of a thing, and JC just got really pissed off about that whole situation. Bailey was gonna get back to it anyway, so it didn't really matter that much, but it might matter because JC was talking about potentially going to the veto ceremony with that bag of chips.
Yeah, passive aggressively chip eating is going to be really them. Great stuff.
He can eat them as she's backdoored.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, there JC is great in that way. He loves to run and tell people, and he told multiple people this throughout the day. He likes to go up to people, not give them any information on what's happening, but just going, lay low. Hey, lay low. Don't do anything. I'm taking care of it. Just lay low. But you should be worried.
Yep. I'm very excited about the chips. You also know that there's going to be so much after the veto ceremony, there's going to be so much of JC going, I told you guys, and you didn't believe me. He's absolutely gonna, Fessy, you're not a brainer. Why aren't you listening to me? I told you something was gonna happen. You told me I was stupid. You're stupid. I am your brain. It's gonna be fun. So Angela and Tyler are going to have a conversation. Tyler lets her know that he did talk to Scotty yesterday, saying that him and Scotty were the only people that knew about the Bailey blindside. So, you know, don't tell anyone. Angela might put you up if it gets out. And so he thinks they're covered there. He thinks we're good with Scotty. Angela is going to wonder, hey, do you think Bailey is really the hacker? Like, what if she's not the hacker? And Tyler's like, look, it doesn't matter if Bailey's the hacker or not. She's got the power. We need to send her out. That's that. And also, if the chips weren't enough for the veto ceremony, Angela has some various ideas for some savage speech stuff for the replacement nominee.
And I know that everyone's been talking about how Angela is, you know, Cersei Lannister and how she's become this ice queen and all that. And I do think that that has happened a couple times, you know, to the diary room, and we'll probably get a lot of good things in that way and goodbye messages. But I'm not confident yet on her ability to say something at the actual veto ceremony and really speak up in front of everyone, because I think that's a little different. And when Brett does it, I think he's doing it much. I think he's much more of a showman than Angela is. So we'll see how far she follows through with, yeah, her plans to wear a hoodie and act like she found the hacker and put Bailey up. There's a lot of talking about how she's going to pretend to start saying different names, but then switch to Bailey and just to rub it in. So it should be, hopefully she does at least something, and it should be. Should be interesting.
Yes, it should be good. Angela is planning on saying, I think one of the things she's planning on saying is potentially like, you forced Scotty to swear in the Bible that he would come after us and stuff like that, and you're a bully and I don't like bullies, and also just a bunch of various things that are going to be very entertaining. Obviously this is not a good game move for Angela. I don't think anybody should say that. But it's a great move for our entertainment, and I don't expect Angela to be in the final two to have any jury votes for the jury votes to matter anyway. So
yeah, like people are mentioning in the chat, if she says she had a plan where she might look at Bailey and go, this is a legendary move, and then put them up. So
yeah, yeah. It's one of those situations. I don't want to make it seem like this is a good move for Angela. It's definitely not. I love it. I can't wait for the speech. I'm loving everything she's doing, including we'll talk about it in a bit, but just like really making Bailey feel comfortable before doing this. I just love every bit of it, but it's obviously terrible move game wise for Angela, especially jury wise. It's gonna be fun. Bailey and Sam are gonna get into an argument. Bailey's gonna tell Sam that she's been snippy with her lately. Sam is like, what? No, we're cool. I don't know what's going on. She's denying it, and this conversation doesn't end well either. Bailey just kind of walks away and starts complaining to Fessy.
Right. And I can see that Sam might be in a snippy mood, but that's a little hypocritical for Bailey to be saying that to people.
Yeah, and also very bad timing
explain to me, why does Bailey think she's safe? Like, I think at this point they should know clearly that she doesn't have the numbers. It doesn't, I mean, while she may enjoy that she's not up on the block right now, it's not over. She didn't win the veto. None of her people were even in the veto competition. Like, why in the world does she think she's safe at all?
I got nothing. I don't know why she didn't use her power.
It doesn't even seem like she's been talking with Tyler that much. Well, OK, so I guess her connection with Angela is probably the only thing that's really making her feel super safe.
Right.
Angela's doing a good job there. So.
Yes, they have the Amazon Alliance. It's totally, totally good. Mm-hmm. Yes. So. Bailey and Sam get into a little thing, which again, very, very bad timing for Bailey, considering she's going to need every vote she can get. Bailey is then going to go to Fessy and complain about Sam. They talk about what might happen with the veto. They were feeling very good, but JC keeps putting into their head that, like, I don't know, guys, I think you should be worried. So Fessy is like, I think we're good, but JC is kind of like talking about stuff. You should just make sure you go to Angela and promise that you will use your power to save her no matter what, even though you're not really going to. Just go to Angela and tell her that. So Bailey does then go up to Angela. She says, I'm going to use my power on you no matter what. I promise. I'm going to use it for you. Don't worry. They both celebrate. They start dancing.
Bailey says that they're ride or dies.
Yes, we're ride or die. Amazon Alliance forever. Dancing. Oh, so serious. We're so excited. We're so excited. All right. Let me get back to that. And Bailey leaves. And then and then Angela, it's like someone might be back door tomorrow. Wonder who it could be.
Yeah, and the funny thing about this is, unlike someone who, if Bailey really didn't feel safe and if she really felt like she needed to talk to Angela and do this, this was a like 30-second conversation between the two of them. It wasn't like they were up there bonding for a really long time. Bailey walks into the room, goes, hey, gonna use my veto on you. They celebrate for like 10 seconds. She walks out instant, like in the episode last night. Angela's face changes, stone cold, walks away, starts singing that someone's gonna be backdoored. It was a pretty great moment. I recommend going back and looking at it. It was at, I think, like 7:39 p.m. Pacific time. But it was a pretty quality moment if anyone wants to watch that. But it's really fast.
Very, very much anticipated that's going to be on the episode. Bailey then talks to Haley. And they both agree very sort of smugly, like, all right. So Scotty gonna go home this week. Scotty is our target for sure. Tyler, he's malleable. Scotty's the dangerous one. He's the one that we need to watch out for this week. So we'll send Scotty home this week, and then in future weeks we'll deal with the Tyler thing. They've got everything planned, and they've got the perfect eviction order.
Yep. They're really banking on someone going home who is not even on the block right now. And you know, of course, one of them is going to win the HOH next week, and they'll just steamroll through the rest of the game like they've been doing.
Yeah. So Angela, Scotty, Tyler, and Casey continue their conversation from earlier in the day, talking about how Faute is throwing Scotty under the bus. They're at this point deciding, once Bailey goes up on the block, what are we going to say about where our votes lie? And they decide they don't want to tell him. They would love for the rest of Faute to vote Rockstar out and then have them keep Rockstar, and then, you know, at the very least, just sow more dissension and suspicion and all of that for having Fessy and Haley vote Rockstar out. Ultimately, I don't think this will matter because, again, Rockstar is the punching bag and she's perfectly fine being the punching bag. But this is what they want to do. So they're not going to tell them which way they're voting. And Scotty was like, well, what I'll say is, like, oh man, two members of the Hive are on the block. I don't know what to do. So that's the game plan.
Yeah, they mostly want to make sure that no one tells Fessy how they're voting, just so that he can be confused. At this point, I'm not too sure why it matters. I'm trying to think what could go wrong if they all just openly said they were probably going to vote Bailey out. It'd be really easy just to say, she has a power. We want to even the playing field, especially with the hacker twist. Whether she is or is not also the hacker, we know for sure that she has this one power. So let's take this out. I mean, even if a vote is nullified, which by the way, I think at this point, when Scotty doesn't go up there on the block, I think there's going to be a pretty good chance that Haley could even nullify Scotty's vote.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe she'll nullify someone's correct. But at this point, it's not like I don't think Scotty has any chance of flipping back to the other side, because what's in it for him at that point? So I don't know. The votes seem pretty locked.
Yeah, it was so funny to me watching even Twitter, who's often up on what's happening on the feeds, like just praising Haley for the move last night in the episode of taking Scotty off the block and replacing him with Tyler, when that was such a bad move. And she handled it so poorly, and she may end up she wants Scotty gone. This Scotty is her target. She took him off the block like 2 days ago, and now Scotty is the one she wants out of the house. Like, what are you doing? But I do see, like, it's again, it's like this thing where it's like, you may not necessarily see the immediate advantage of keeping the other side in the dark. It's like, why not just tell them that you're voting Bailey out? But I think that's sort of been Level 6's game plan all along, and it's worked really well for them. One of the potential benefits is potentially, like, if Bailey thinks that she might be able to get the votes from the Level 6 people, then either the Faute side will vote to evict Rockstar and Level 6 will get what they want in that regard, where it's like sowing more dissension on their side and so on and so forth. Or the other side is like, well, actually, we want to vote Bailey out. And then Bailey's going to be pissed at them going into the jury house. You know, like if the Level 6 side said, we have the numbers, we're voting Bailey out, you can either vote with the house or not, then all of the blame is on them. But if they go, sure, then it forces the other side to make a decision that is solely on them, and so Bailey can either be happy with that decision or angry with that decision. Not to mention, just like in general, the overall confusion for the other side of like, whoa, where are the votes gonna be, we don't know. And if
you know, Bailey's on the jury, I don't see her being, if Bailey is the first person to the jury, I think that she probably wouldn't even vote for a Fealty person if they were in the finals, because you tend to be more, if any of them voted her out or not, I think that she's just shown to not really care for them too much. Maybe Haley. She might vote for Haley if Haley was.
Yeah, I think she'd vote for Haley.
I'm not sure about Fessy. That one's tricky. And I'm trying to think of a way that Haley could have played this right, because I know, you know, especially after last season, people like to see someone strike out or strike against the person who's running things. So if Haley really did think that Tyler, you know, if she figured out that Tyler was, you know, not with them, and I think that there's definitely been, she's been the most sort of woke to that. I think that it's fun to see her put Tyler up, but I'm not sure there was any path worth her putting him up this week, just the way things went, that he would have gone home anyway. I think Tyler was too connected, and that's the worry. If you're in the house, if you can see who's running things, you know, and that's why last year people were talking about, if you want to get Paul out, you have to put him up basically against Alex, and that was the only person, and it had to be because you have to pick someone who's more liked. And at that point, Tyler is up against what, Rockstar or Scotty?
Right. Well, I mean, if she takes Rockstar off the block, then first of all, Scotty is no longer going to be like the whole Scotty situation isn't going to happen, because now Scotty is pinned against level six. So Scotty's probably not flipping over to the other side at that point. Then if Scotty wins the veto, he has to take himself off the block. He can't take Tyler off the block. That leaves one person, Scotty, who's a good, good competitor that's, you know, against Tyler in the veto. And then if she chooses Fessy instead of Casey to play in the veto, that's two people who then wouldn't take Tyler off the block, with her ability to cancel a vote, not having to worry about Scotty's vote to keep Tyler. They have the votes. Rockstar would absolutely vote to evict Tyler. All she'd need is Bailey, which she was able to get this week. Maybe she won't be able to get to have Bailey without the events of all of everything that happened. But at the very least, she's going to come a lot closer. Like this could have been a lot worse for Tyler, but Haley did not play this correctly at all.
Yeah, and I think there was probably a small element of, oh, everyone knows that I'm friends with Rockstar, so if I took Rockstar off, it would be pretty obvious that it was, you know, one of her allies. There would have been very few people who would have taken Rockstar off, you know, from the other side. So I think that might have factored into why she didn't do that. And I could see her plan with taking Scotty off. There were some benefits there, but I think the second that she started talking about it and Scotty, you know, struck back against it, it was kind of null and void at that point.
Well, I mean, like she tried to play level six's game. She tried to be like, all right, I'm going to pin this on Scotty. But the problem is that Scotty immediately saw through that. He knew, one, whoever won this is on the Fauté side, is in my alliance. Two, whoever is in my alliance that did this is not telling me about it. Three, who's ever in my alliance that did this is clearly trying to frame me, and that pisses me off. And that's why he flipped this week. She should have seen that coming. You can't just willy nilly blame things on Scotty unless you put the work in ahead of time, like Tyler and JC have done in previous weeks. And it just completely back. Just keep it simple. Don't try to be cute unless you have the ability to be cute. You know, maybe Rockstar could be cute. She talks about being cute all the time. If she takes down Rockstar and she puts in Fessy, it's not going to make, it's like they all would blame Bailey anyway. Like that's what people expected Bailey to do. I really feel like, this is just really, really poorly played by
Haley.
Well,
I mean, and Haley's biggest flaw throughout this game, I think, has been that she doesn't fight for things that hard. You know, once something doesn't go her way, she adapts really well to the situation, but it doesn't benefit her. So she hasn't gotten anything out of what's happened. She's just lasted, which probably, you know, might have to do with her age, but you know, you see young people in the house. Nicomas was young and she fought for things. So it really depends on, it depends on your personality. And I think that she knows that she hasn't really offended too many people besides Sam. So she wouldn't get put up by too many people for like personal reasons, but I just don't think that she, I think that in this case, she needed to fight a little bit harder to make happen what she wanted to happen.
Yeah. And I think ultimately, like, I think maybe she wasn't even thinking in terms of getting Tyler out. I think she, much like Twitter, just wanted to see him sweat a little bit. Because, again, like, she doesn't see him as the mastermind of the season. She sees him as, like, this guy, he keeps being safe because he's playing both sides. Like, I just want to, like, put a little bit of scare into him. I don't think she really, like, made a concerted effort to try and get him out. I think she was just kind of tossing him up there, and she just wanted to make sure none of the blowback went back on her, and that's sort of where her motivation was. But again, it's just a huge missed opportunity on her part, and Bailey's part for not using the her power, you know, before she gets back, Jordan leaves.
Will this be the first time that someone has gotten kicked out of the house with a power? Because that doesn't happen that often in Big Brother. There's not usually powers that people could sort of have, like, taken with them and still held in their pocket.
Yeah, usually have that. That's a good point. Yeah, I think it's probably the. I mean, unless you count Marcellus, like that was a new power, you could call it. Right, you know,
you're right. Back in Big Brother 3, you know, the veto was a new power.
Big Brother 3. Good show to watch. Good season. Good one to talk about.
I'm rooting for a return of the old season discussions.
Yes. So then JC, Angela, and Casey. JC, this is when JC talks about how he's feeding the other side bad information, and he is not going to tell Fessy how to vote this week. They let him in on the plan to keep the other side in the dark. Sam is going to have some weird talks. She's going to talk with Casey about, you know, I watched this Big Brother episode and there was this guy and his name was Enzo, and he got cut at the final three because everyone loved him too much and they knew that he would win a jury vote. And I just feel like that's what's going to happen with me, you, and Tyler. Don't you think?
Yeah, and Casey is doing the thing of like, oh no, we'll see what happens when we get there.
That's so far away.
Yeah, that's so far away. Why would you do that? But yeah, I love Sam thinking that she's Enzo and comparing herself. And also, she's something. I can't figure out if Sam cares at all. Like, if this was the final three, Sam and Casey and Tyler, do you think Sam would just jump off, quit, lose? I mean, the thing is, if it comes down to Casey, Tyler, and Sam, Casey and Tyler, they're taking Sam. Like, I don't think the two of them want to go to the final two together. I think that they would know that whoever won that HOH would take Sam and Sam would get second. So I think that is Sam's path to second place. But would Sam just sacrifice herself and let them go? I know she talks right now like she would, but would she if she was really in that spot?
I don't know anything about Sam. She's such a weirdo. She's talking about how, like, it's like I'm the mother and, you know, you're the sister and Tyler's the brother. Because that's what it's like in my life.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people have been hating on Casey, saying like she's always sucking up to Sam and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what else are you going to do? You can't fight with someone like Sam. I feel like in this house, you just kind of, especially if you want their vote at all, you just kind of need to, you know, speak their language and let them be themselves and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. So that happened. Faute is starting to get nervous because of all the information JC has been feeding them. Bad information, but worrying information nonetheless. But also Angela is not confirming that the deal is on. Like, she's not telling them that they're going to be safe. So they're starting to get a little nervous. Bailey's like, if I got backdoored, I'd be super pissed. It's like, can't wait.
Oh my gosh, Bob in the chat. Sam would tell them to throw the final three HOH to her so that she could take the burden of who to pick.
That's absolutely what she would do.
Because
here's the thing. I think that she talks a big game about, like, just throwing it. But I think that when it came down to it, like, she'd get pissed off. Like, she'd be like, wait, really? Like, why won't you let me you know what I mean? Like, why? I've decided that I think that Casey deserves it more, Tyler. Why aren't you letting her win? It's, you know what I mean? I think she'd lose it. Tyler does have a conversation with Sam late in the night. Sam is scared that Tyler's going to go home this week. She's like, you're marked. This has all been an elaborate plan to get you out, Tyler. And he's like, I think we're good. I think we're cool. She thinks that Haley's the hacker. She's the only one that knows. She's like, I think Haley's the hacker. He's like, I don't think so. And look, it doesn't even matter. Haley's not a good player. We need to get Bailey out this week because she has the power app. So it doesn't matter. We can nominate Haley later. She's not a good player. She's probably not the hacker. Let's not worry about it. But that just kind of annoys Sam. So then he Tyler's very good at playing Sam's game, right? So like he disappoints her with the game talk because he needs to set her on the right path, but then he'll indulge her on like the personal talk. So he's like, but you know what? I have seen Haley flirting with Scotty a lot lately, and that really does annoy me. And she's like, yes, right? So annoying. And gets her totally back to where he needs her to be. So then they just complain about Haley for a little while.
Yeah, that's one thing that has improved since Caitlin has left the house is Tyler checking in with Sam more often and really boosting that relationship. Because even though Sam is a wild card, I do think at the end of the day, if Tyler directly told her to vote a certain way, she probably would. She would probably spin it as doing something that she wanted, but I think that she would vote. And yeah, earlier in the day, Sam had even talked to Haley and told Haley that she didn't like the idea of a girl grabbing a guy in the house to use as a shield and to win comps. That's like, wow, subtle. But I think that, yeah, the gossip and if you want to get on her good side, just hate on the other women and she'll be right with you.
There you go. Anything else we need to bring up before we wrap this up?
Honestly, I'm surprised we were able to stretch out yesterday this much. So not as much. I'm trying to see. Nothing else. Oh, Brett and Scotty had been talking really late in the evening about how JC has these relationships with Fessy and Tyler. And so Brett and Scotty, I think, are realizing that JC is, you know, they're all worried about how much JC is running back and forth. And I think that they have a pretty good stance on, you know, he's going to jump to whichever side lasts. So, or not whichever side, but like JC thinks he can control both Fessy and Tyler. And so if one of them gets voted out, he's going to go with the other. And I think it's good that people are at least looking at that, because I do think that JC has been so far, while he is sort of bouncing off the walls, he is playing a pretty good game in terms of making multiple connections. So the more people who realize that, the harder it's going to be for him pretty soon, I think.
Yeah, JC needs to start evolving his game. He's been playing pretty well so far. The problem is that he hasn't adapted yet. He's had the same game all season. And people have caught on and they're starting to anticipate what he's going to do next. He needs to change things up before the time comes for people to take him out, because if not, I think he's been clocked by level six, and he'll either need to get lucky to get out of that, or he'll need to make some new connections and change things up. Until then, I think his position will start to slowly decline, but it'll be interesting to see where that goes.
I'm really excited to see where certain people fall, because if someone like Fessy were to get voted out and Bailey, I would really be interested to see where Haley goes, where JC goes, who Brett's closer to, because I think that there's going to be a war between probably Brett and Tyler would be the direction I would see. I think Tyler's going to come for Brett pretty soon as well.
Could be fun. All right. So that's what we've got for you this morning. I will be back tomorrow morning again at 8 a.m. Eastern. Another early one tomorrow morning. Then we'll go back after tomorrow. So don't worry. You'll get some Summer of Stein today. Tomorrow night, we'll have a roundtable. We'll have a lot of fun updating the stock watch and getting those bonus question answers. I'm really curious to get some thoughts on the hacker twist. That's one of the ones I'm interested in.
And I know it's been mentioned, but I looked and I had my... It's over there now, but my Sequester sweatshirt out. The hacker looks exactly like Sequester bot from Sequester. So I know that's been around on the internet and was mentioned last night, but it really is. And the voice is like exactly the same. So it's pretty funny.
Yes. So make sure you check out the roundtable tomorrow night. And then, of course, Wednesday, we'll get the veto. We'll see what happens today on the Wednesday episode. Should be a lot of fun. I believe that will be Melissa and I on the podcast Wednesday night, and then Thursday we'll have the eviction episode. Lots of great stuff heading your way. Of course, check out Twitch, Taryn Armstrong there on Twitch. And where can people find you, Mary?
You can find me on Twitter at Frail Mary, if you would like. And I'm probably today going to post an episode of my podcast that I have with my sister. No worries. It is not at all in the same realm as this. It's about the show Revenge from several years ago. So if anyone is interested in checking up on that, we only have, 9 or 10 episodes out, so it wouldn't be hard to catch up. But we were also on Yatus for a while, and we will be coming back now if anyone's interested.
What are your thoughts on Revenge post season one?
I actually really enjoy Revenge in the later seasons. I think that the first season is the best, but there are a couple things in like the third season that I feel like affected me more than many other TV shows I was watching at the time. So I recommend sticking in. It's only 4 seasons. You can't like, what are people, you're watching 20 seasons of Big Brother. You have time to watch 4 seasons of Revenge.
Yeah. You know, there are a lot of shows out there. All right.
Wow. Okay.
Revenge, I was actually surprisingly I was into it the first season at the very least.
I think it's fun. It took a nice twist on people, rich people.
All right, well, thank you everyone for joining us. I will see you next time.
Bye.